This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. We got another 60 minutes or so of old-time radio. We're going to start off this week with The Whistler, an episode titled The Penalty from March 28, 1943. And it's a quick believe it or not. An episode titled Funny Election. Strange that that one came up today. We'll finish off with Obsession, an episode titled Cousin Charlie. They aired sometime in 1952.
Have you heard the strange tales of The Whistler?
I know John Blake isn't here. I know because he's disappeared. I know you're trying to keep it out of the press because you think he's been kidnapped.
Another Sunday night, and again, CBS presents The Whistler. I, The Whistler, know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales. Many secrets hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. And so I tell you tonight the amazing story of The Penalty. Young Alan Harper stands at the window of his small office and stares gloomily out over the city as the lights flicker on in the dusk. Alan has troubles. Perhaps he should have kept his job as a private detective. Perhaps he shouldn't have taken a law course, for he hasn't had a single client since the day he passed the bar examination. Better to give up and go back to the detective agency. Then the door opens and a figure steps into the dimly lighted room.
Are you the attorney?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm Alan Harper.
I have a little business for you.
Business? Oh, what kind of business?
I want you to draw a will and... Later, deliver a letter for me.
A will? Oh, yes, of course, of course.
Do you know who I am?
Well, I've certainly seen you before, but I just can't place you.
I'm John Blake, president of the Plymouth Building and Loan.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. I've seen your picture many times.
Yes.
But why have you come to me? You have a staff of the best attorneys in town.
I know, but because of the peculiar nature of the business at hand, I prefer an unknown, a lawyer who had no previous interest in me or my affairs.
I see.
And also one who was not doing any too well.
Well, I'll have to admit that you picked a good example.
In a few moments, you'll have guessed what I have in mind. You'll know why I can't have my own attorneys handle this.
Why not?
You have no personal interest in me, Harper. This is a cold business proposition, and I'll make it worth your while.
Yes.
When I walk out of here, I want you to forget the whole thing for a few days. Agreed?
Very well.
Then... take down what I say and I'll sign it. To my daughter, Anita Blake, I leave all my property, personal and real, including the painting of her mother, Marcia Blake. This will supersedes any and all instruments of this nature previously drawn.
Yes.
That's all.
All?
Yes. I'll sign it now. Now, here is a letter addressed to my brother, Hillary, in this city. He's recently returned after 25 years in Australia. Though he has written me several times lately, we've been estranged all these years over a situation which this letter will clear up.
Very well, Mr. Blake, but just what...
No questions, Mr. Harper, please. I want you to keep the will and letter. You'll know what to do with them when the time arrives.
Are you... I mean, Mr. Blake, are you afraid of being murdered?
No, Harper, there was a time. Oh, but not now.
Sounds a little crazy to me.
Here you are, young man. Your fee.
What?
$1,000.
Oh, but that's most unusual. Why all that?
I'm paying you that much because I know you need it badly, and your need will make you keep our agreement that you'll forget all this for a few days and say nothing to anyone.
You're planning to commit suicide, Mr. Blake.
And what if I were?
Then it's my duty to stop you.
What would my death matter to you? People die every day, commit suicide or murder. It means nothing to you.
Yes, but this is different.
Mr. Harper, I'm not planning to commit suicide.
You're sure?
Yes, I assure you. So if you don't care to go through with the agreement, I'll take the money back and find someone else.
No. No, I believe you, Mr. Blake. I'll keep the agreement. I've got to.
Very well. Goodbye, Harper, and good luck.
Goodbye, Mr. Blake.
Young Alan Harper sits pondering over the strange events. The will, the letter. He drops the role of attorney, and his mind works from the angle of the detective. What a strange situation. Another day has passed, and toward noon, Anita Blake talks to her fiancé, Wilbur Martin.
I'm sorry to call you out here, Wilbur, but I just had to talk to you.
Oh, what is it, Anita? What's wrong?
It's about Father.
Your father?
He left the office late yesterday afternoon, but he didn't come home.
Well, maybe he went to his club.
But no, Wilbur. I mean, he didn't come home at all. He still hasn't come. I called his club. I've called every place. Oh, Wilbur, I'm terribly worried.
Why?
Well, Father's been acting strangely of late. He's so morose. I'm afraid.
Afraid? Afraid of what?
I'm afraid something's happened to him.
Anita, maybe he's been kidnapped.
Wilbur, kidnapped? But if that had happened, wouldn't someone contact us by this time?
Maybe not. Have you called every place that he might be?
Oh, yes.
Have you called the police?
No, I wanted to wait till I talked to you.
Have you called his brother, Hillary?
No, I haven't, but I don't think he'd be there. You know about that situation. They haven't been on good terms for years and years. They've only seen each other once since Uncle Hillary came back from Australia.
Yes, I know. He's a strange sort of person, that Hillary. I've only seen him once, the time I went to his apartment with you, but he's certainly strange.
I know, but perhaps that's only natural.
What was it that caused them to become so bitter towards each other?
I really don't know. Father never told me. But I think it had something to do with a girl they were both in love with.
Did your father know Hillary was coming back to the States?
Of course. Hillary wrote him several times, but Father didn't answer him.
Is your Uncle Hillary well fixed?
Certainly. He became wealthy in Australia. What are you trying to say?
Are you sure he made money over there?
Of course. Father told me that many times.
Well, your father could have been misled about Hillary being well off.
Wilbur, I don't know what you mean. I think Uncle Hillary is all right. I rather like him. And I don't care what the differences were between them. Are you inferring that Uncle Hillary...
No, I'm not inferring anything. I'm just asking. Why not call Hillary and ask him to come over here?
All right.
Don't tell him about your father. Just ask him to come over here as soon as possible.
You're all wrong about this, Wilbur. I know now what you're thinking. But I'm sure you're wrong.
You call him, Anita. And let him think your father is here. Then, after we talk to him, we can call the police.
Wilbur is very clever. He may be right about Hillary. Maybe Hillary knows something about his brother's strange disappearance. But then, Hillary is clever, too. Quite clever. A half hour later, Hillary arrives.
What on earth is this all about?
I'm awfully glad you could come so soon, Uncle Hillary.
John Eden?
Oh, you remember Wilbur Martin, Uncle, my fiancé.
Yes, of course. What's wrong with you two? What's happened?
Mr. Blake, how long since you've seen your brother?
Why, it's been about 4 or 5 months, shortly after I came here from Australia.
Wilbur,
would you like to have a few words with him?
Why, certainly. What's happened?
Wilbur, stop this nonsense. Uncle Hillary, Father is... Well, he isn't here. He's disappeared.
What? Disappeared?
Yes, and Wilbur thought maybe you knew where he was.
I see. Well, Wilbur, I don't know.
I know that now, but... Well, I just wanted to make sure.
Don't let your imagination run away with you, Wilbur.
Father didn't come home last night from the office. I've called every place. Every place.
Well, what do you think's become of him?
Well, he's been acting very strangely. I'm afraid that he's committed suicide.
Suicide?
But Wilbur thinks that somebody may have kidnapped him for ransom. We could both be right.
He could have been murdered.
I suggest that you call the police at once and check the hospitals, the morgue, everything.
Yes, of course. You call them, Wilbur, please. I can't.
Yes, yes, darling. I'll attend to it.
Mm-hmm. Wilbur calls the police and the hospital and the morgue. But he learns nothing of value. 2 days pass by and still not a sign of John Blake or his body. Then Alan Harper, the attorney, visits the John Blake home.
Come in, Mr. Harper.
Thank you, Miss Blake.
This is my fiancé, Mr. Martin.
Mr. Martin?
What is it, Mr. Harper?
Is your father here, Miss Blake?
My father? Why, no.
What did you want to see him about, Harper?
Why, I wanted to see him on some personal business.
Why don't you try to find him at his office?
I did, but he isn't there. He hasn't been there for several days.
Just what is your business, Mr. Harper? Why do you want to see Mr. Blake?
I don't want to see Mr. Blake. Because I don't think he's here. I came to see Miss Blake.
What do you want, Mr. Harper? Who are you?
I'm a detective.
Detective?
Yes.
Go on, Mr. Harper.
I know John Blake isn't here. I know because he's disappeared. I know you're trying to keep it out of the press because you think he's been kidnapped.
We called the police. We asked them to keep it quiet.
Yes, yes, I know that. But I'm working in the background.
Well, if you don't think he's here, then where do you think he is?
I think he's dead.
Dead? Why do you think that?
Just what do you know, Mr. Harper?
I wanted to talk to you and...
Mr. Blake.
What? And who is this?
Mr. Blake. Well, sir...
You seem startled, young man. What's wrong?
Oh, yes, I am, sir. I thought...
What did you think?
Well, I thought you were dead, sir. That is...
He's
well,
a detective.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mr. Blake, but... Well, I guess curiosity got the better of me.
What are you talking about?
Well, you remember. The agreement.
What agreement?
Wait a minute. Do you know who you're talking to?
Yes, yes, of course. John Blake.
No, Mr. Harper, this is my uncle, my father's brother, Hillary.
Hillary? Hillary Blake?
Yes, my father's twin brother.
Twins? John and Hillary were twins?
Of course.
Well, I didn't know that.
And apparently you know my father, John Blake.
Yes. What did you know about him? You know where he is?
Well, I... Excuse me just a moment. I've never been so startled in all my life. Yes. Yes, now that I look at him, now that I recall his speech, there's a difference.
And why do you think John Blake is dead, Mr. Harper?
I've just come from police headquarters.
You mean he's been murdered?
No. No, not murdered. From all indications, he's committed suicide.
Suicide? Are you sure?
Oh, Father. I was afraid of this.
This morning, a hat and coat and overcoat were found on the river docks. In the coat was a typewritten copy of a will made the day before yesterday. The hat bears the initials J.B.
There was a will, you say?
Yes. Could you identify the hat and coat, Miss Blake?
Of course.
Very well. Come in, Sergeant. This is Sergeant Hanlon. Do you recognize this coat and hat, Miss Blake?
Yes. Yes, I do. They were fathers. Oh, Wilbur.
Suicide? I can't understand it.
But the hat and coat are not conclusive evidence. What about the will found in the pocket?
Show them the will, Sergeant.
You read it, Wilbur.
Yes, of course. To my daughter, Anita Blake, I leave all my property, personal and real, including the painting of her mother, Marcia Blake. This will supersedes any and all instruments of this nature previously drawn. But no signature.
I have the original. Here you are.
It's the original and signed. Where did you get this, Harper?
Look at the signature of the witness.
Alan Harper. You witnessed the signature?
I did.
And how do you explain that, Mr. Harper?
Because I typed the will for John Blake the night he disappeared. He signed it and I witnessed the signature.
Why should he come to you, a detective?
It's true that I'm a detective, but I'm also an attorney at law.
But Mr. Blake has his own attorney.
Nevertheless, he came to me to draw this will. And if I hadn't recognized him from his pictures, I wouldn't have witnessed the signature.
You recognize your father's signature, Anita?
Yes. Yes, it's his, all right.
I still can't understand the reason for his doing such a thing. He did everything in the world, everything to live for, money, position. He must have been out of his mind.
Well, I'll admit he did act very strangely, but he seemed to be rational enough.
But this still isn't proof that he's dead. There's no body, no proof that he committed suicide.
The body may not be found for days, but this evidence at hand certainly indicates that a body will be found eventually.
Maybe not, Mr. Harper. It's possible they could have...
What were you going to say?
Nothing.
Miss Blake, in a way, I blame myself for your father's death.
How do you mean?
While he was dictating the will, I had a premonition that he was planning to kill himself. When I confronted him with my suspicion, he was able to convince me that he had no such intention. It's obvious now why he came to me.
Why?
He wanted someone who didn't know him personally. His own attorneys would have been able to see through his plan and prevent his carrying it out.
But why did he make this new will if he'd already made one?
Yes, that's what I'd like to know.
Well, I'm still not convinced that he committed suicide.
No? Well, maybe this will help. Here's a letter he asked me to deliver to Hillary Blake.
A letter? To me?
Yes. He said it would clear up a few things.
Huh. Well.
What does it say, Uncle?
It says several things. Things he'd never have said unless he were going to die. Suppose you read it, Wilbur.
Yes. Hillary. For 25 years now, jealousy and bitterness have kept us apart. I know why you stayed over there in Australia all these years. I know you loved Marcia, that she was rightfully yours. But I loved her, too. And I couldn't go on without her. I know you despised us both all these years, and I pretended to despise you. I had to pretend because I lied to Marcia. I told her you were engaged to a woman in Australia. Marcia is innocent. I was to blame. When Marcia died last year, you wrote that you were coming back. I knew that your resentment had faded, but I didn't answer you. And I've kept away from you because I just couldn't face it. I told you all this because things have happened, which you will learn soon enough, that have decided me to close my book and write Finis. I have made a new will, leaving everything I possess to Anita. Anita is young, Hillary. I beg of you to watch after her as though she were your own, which, but for my selfishness, she might well have been. Forgive me, Hillary. John. Well... this certainly indicates suicide.
What does he mean by things have happened?
That, Miss Blake, is the motive for which we just have to wait.
Yes. For that and the body.
Everyone seems to be convinced that John Blake has committed suicide. That is, everyone except Wilbur Martin. But still, the body has not been found. Then, one morning, 4 days later, Alan Harper calls Anita and Hillary to police headquarters.
Morning, Miss Blake. Mr. Blake.
What is it, Mr. Harper?
Have you found John?
I hope you don't mind my coming along, Mr. Harper.
No. No, not at all, Mr. Martin.
What's happened?
They found a body this morning on the rocks at the mouth of the river. It's rather badly bruised and cut and... well, it's in a bad condition, but I think you should look at it.
Oh,
I know how you feel, Miss Blake, but I'm afraid it's necessary.
Very well. I'll be all right.
May I come too?
Please do, Wilbur.
This way, please. Here we are.
Wilbur.
What do you say, Miss Blake?
Oh, it's awful.
Now, get hold of yourself, Anita. Please, you must.
Yes, that's Father.
And you, Mr. Blake?
Well, it's certainly hard to say. It looks like it might be John, but was there no means of identification on this body? No jewelry?
Father never wore any jewelry.
There was nothing but this suit here. Nothing in the pockets.
Oh, Wilbur, that's Father's suit, all right. It's Father, I know. But why? Why did he do it?
Come along, Mr. Blake. You needn't stay here any longer.
Now, darling. Well, I still can't understand it.
I'd like to have a word with you, Martin.
Yes? Oh, all right.
Oh, would you and your uncle wait here for a moment?
Of course.
This way, Martin. All right, Martin. Why did you phone me?
I wanted permission to see the body.
Do you think it was John Blake?
Oh, I can't tell, but they certainly should know.
Wilbur, from the start, you've been skeptical about the suicide theory. Why?
Why? Well,
who are you trying to frame?
You're crazy. I'm not trying to frame anybody.
You think he was murdered?
Yes, I do.
But not by you, of course.
Certainly not.
But how do you account for the fact that John came to my office, signed the will he dictated, and gave me the letter to Hillary? He must have contemplated suicide.
Are you sure it was John Blake who made the will?
You think it was Hillary?
It could have been.
But John's temples were quite gray, and he had no trace of an accent.
Hillary could have dropped the accent and grayed his temples.
Go on.
He could have gotten hold of John's clothes and hat. And after he left you, he could have killed John and thrown him in the river and left the evidence at the riverfront.
And why would Hillary kill John?
Well, there have been several reasons. Maybe because of Marcia. Several reasons.
Did John Blake object to your engagement to Anita?
No. Why should he?
Anita Blake identified her father's handwriting on the will and the letter to Hillary. She identified the body, but you keep harping about murder.
Maybe she only thought it was his handwriting.
You'd better be careful, Wilbur. If you're trying to make a murder out of this, you may hang yourself.
What? How?
False accusation. I've still got the will and the letter to Hillary. I checked with papers at John's office. The writing is the same.
Maybe Hillary is clever at forgery.
Maybe.
Did you have the experts check the writing?
Not yet.
Well, then how can you tell unless you had a sample of Hillary's writing?
I take it you have a sample of Hillary's writing. You found the letters from Hillary to John?
Yes. Found a packet of them. It's on his desk.
Good. Good. That will be what I was waiting for.
Well, there they are. Several of them tied together.
Now, I'll tell you something. I never thought John committed suicide. I think he was murdered.
You do?
Yes. And before you go, Wilbur, I'd like to have a sample of your handwriting here on this pad.
Very well.
Thank you, Wilbur. I'll see you tomorrow. Well, Sergeant, have you finished checking?
Yes, Harper, I've finished.
And what's the verdict?
Well, this is the cleverest bit of forgery I've ever come across. This would have passed any place if the question hadn't come up.
So?
This will and the letter to Hillary would certainly get by anyone as having been written by John Blake.
Yes?
When comparing the suicide letter from John to Hillary with this letter Hillary wrote from Australia, we notice a difference, but a basic similarity.
Would the fact that they're twins be the reason for that?
No, on closer examination, we find characteristics which couldn't appear in both letters if they were twins.
Then you agree with me that Hillary must have written the suicide letter and signed the will.
I certainly do. It's a tough thing to prove. I think you're on the right track, but, well,
All I can do is bluff it through, eh?
I'm afraid you'll have to work on forcing a confession on this case.
Did you check all these letters from Hillary?
No, just those on top.
Well, I'd appreciate it if you checked them all.
Well, just as you say.
Now, what about young Wilbur Martin?
Well, so far I can't see much in him to worry about. But then you never can tell.
I think Hillary's the man, all right. I thought that for some time. But I'll just phone out to the house and tell Wilbur Martin that we've uncovered the whole thing. And if Wilbur's in on it, he'll be gone when I get there. He can be picked up later.
Okay, I'll check the rest of Hillary's letter.
Go ahead. I won't phone out there till you finish.
10 minutes later, a startling piece of news breaks. The headlines are screamed by newsboys. Extras flood the streets. And Wilbur Martin rushes to the Blake home and faces Anita and Hillary Blake.
What is it, Wilbur? What's wrong with you?
Yes, for heaven's sake, what's happened?
You haven't heard? You don't know, Anita?
No, what do you mean?
Well, look at these headlines.
Plymouth building and loan crashes. Wilbur, what does it mean?
I'll tell you. John Blake embezzled the company funds and they've gone to the wall.
What?
Yes, close the doors.
Wilbur, no, I can't believe that.
I'm sorry, Anita. There it is, in black and white.
Then that's the motive for his suicide.
Why?
Why? Because he knew he was caught. What else?
He could have put the money back, couldn't he?
Yes, but maybe he lost it by trying to make more to cover up the shortage.
I don't think he lost.
You don't?
No.
Nonsense. He must have. Why would he kill himself?
Maybe he didn't kill himself.
No, please, Anita. You mustn't worry. I know this is very embarrassing for you, but it isn't your fault. Let me take you away for a while. We can run down to Mexico till this blows over.
You won't take her to Mexico. You won't take her anyplace.
Just what do you mean?
What's wrong with you, Wilbur? You're acting stupid.
Do you want to go to Mexico with a murderer?
What?
Your father may have built the company, but I don't believe he lost the money.
Wilbur.
He hid it. And your Uncle Hillary found out where he hid it, and he set up the suicide to cover your father's murder.
Crazy. Out of your mind.
This doesn't make sense. I have all the money I need.
Yes, you have now.
You're a fool. Pack your things and eat it. I'll phone the airport for reservation.
You won't leave this room.
Do you know what can be done to you for threatening people with firearms? I'll call the police.
You don't need to call the police. They're on the way here now. Just talk to that detective, Mr. Harper.
They'll prove that you wrote the John's will and the suicide letter. You killed John, and you have the money.
Wilbur, you're crazy. You're out of your mind.
I know what I'm talking about.
Get out of here. Get out. Get out!
No, I won't leave. No one will leave till they come. Well, you got here just in time, Mr. Harper. Hillary was going to Mexico on the next plane and taking Anita with him.
Mexico?
Yes, he knows everything. I just told him about the handwriting discovery. John Blake stole the money from the loan company. Hillary here found out about it and learned where it was hidden and killed John.
He's talking nonsense.
Mr. Blake, Sergeant Evans here is the police handwriting expert. He's examined the will and the suicide letter from John. He's also checked them with your recent letters from Australia.
What?
And your letters from Australia show a definite resemblance, the same characteristics which appear in the will and the suicide letter.
You wrote the suicide letter?
Definitely.
And we can get a conviction on it.
Ridiculous.
But there's something else. The will mentions a painting of Marcia Blake, Anita's mother. Where's that painting?
Well, there it is on the wall.
Just a moment.
I hope you don't mind, Miss Blake.
You're tearing off the back.
Yes. Yes. And there you are. There's the reason why.
Bonds. Thousands in negotiable bonds. Then Hillary did know about the money. He did kill John for all this.
I did no such thing.
No. No, that's right. You didn't kill John Blake.
Well, then who did?
Look at these two letters from Hillary Blake to John. What are the dates?
September and November 1940.
Those were Hillary's last letters to John. Now look at these. June and July 1920. You notice any difference?
Well, all are signed by Hillary. But the ones dated 1920 are not at all like the ones written in 1940.
Not the least similarity. We just discovered these old letters. The ones dated 1920 were written by Hillary. But the ones dated 1940 were written by John.
John? What do you mean?
You're under arrest, Mr. Blake. Not for murder, because there's been no murder. You're under arrest on a charge of embezzlement.
Embezzlement?
And you, Miss Blake, are under arrest as an accomplice.
Oh, but what are you saying?
At first, we overlooked the earlier letters of Hillary Blake. But when we saw them, we knew they were not the same hand. We knew John forged the recent ones. Furthermore, I checked with Australia. Hillary Blake died in Sydney 10 years ago. This man is John Blake, posing as Hillary to escape the penalty for looting the company.
Anita, you...
Anita knew all about it. She's in on the plan. Oh, it was a clever one. And they might have gotten away with the phony suicide, but he picked the wrong attorney. Oh, here's your $1,000, Blake. But I'm afraid it won't do either of you much good now.
Well, that's the story. John had gone to great lengths in laying his plan, but he made a mistake by failing to destroy the early letters from Hillary, and he underestimated Wilbur's intelligence. John had covered every point. He had even established residence in an apartment as Hillary, had used the story of estrangement as an excuse for not associating with Hillary. And what of the body in the morgue? That's where they slipped again. The police knew the identity of the body. That was merely a trap laid by Alan Harper. Anita was too quick in identifying the first body she saw, too anxious. It was obviously not her father, but the finding of an unidentified body seemed so convenient that she jumped at the chance to declare it was John Blake. Yes, there's many a slip, Twix, but you know the rest.
CBS has presented The Whistler. Original music for this production was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The Whistler is written and directed by J. Donald Wilson and originates from Columbia Square in Hollywood. Next week, same time,
I, The Whistler, will return to tell you another unusual story. Good night.
Good night. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Sergeant Myron Cozier of San Diego, California, was shot in the throat in the Solomon Islands. The Japanese bullet severed his infected tonsils and left him otherwise unharmed and much relieved. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about a funny election. A cigar store Indian was elected Justice of the Peace in Allentown, New Jersey in 1883. The statue, clothed with the fictitious name of Abner Robbins, was duly placed on the ballot and elected by a margin of 7 votes over the incumbent Sam Davis. Judge Davis, who'd held the office for many years, resigned in a huff when he learned that his successful opponent was a wooden Indian. Believe it or not.
Obsession. Money has been given the highest priority as the root of all evil. However, money has nothing to do with evil. Evil is within. The evil is the obsession one has for money that lends the impetus to lie or steal or cheat, yes, or even murder. In a moment, you'll hear the story of an evil obsession for money. A story that centers around these moments starring Bonita Granville. This is the story of Cousin Charlie, a man who refused to die. Not knowingly, of course, for what man has that conscious right? But in the house of Trina and Jake Crowley, there is desperation that merges into near panic as the days pass. Jake Crowley works for a bank as custodian of money. And at this time of the year, the green and silver of it has none of the joyous glitter of Yuletide. For to Jake Crowley and Trina, money is an obsession.
$321.17 won't buy anything.
That's all that's left, Trina.
How much was it to begin with, Jake?
Almost $10,000.
$10,000? Where has it gone?
Why do you think? You wanted a new car, didn't you? You insisted on that trip to Tahoe last summer. You asked for this house, didn't you?
Oh, so I was the one at fault. I spent the money. I suppose the next thing you'll be saying is that I instigated the whole affair.
Oh, listen, Trina, we won't get anywhere this way. We've got to figure a way out. I need your help.
When are the bank examiners due, Jake?
Next Tuesday.
But can't you cover up some way? Isn't there something you can do?
Not a thing. Since that new manager's been in, I haven't had a chance.
Oh, Jake, I don't know what to say. It's...
The word's larceny, Trina. Grand larceny.
And that's how it began. That was the reason we had to do what we did. We were desperate. There didn't seem to be any way out. No way at all. Then, as though fate had planned it, a letter came. Oh, try and be nice to him, Jake. Cousin Charlie doesn't visit us often.
Well, it's too often to suit me. When's he due in?
Noon train tomorrow. He says we needn't bother meeting him at the station. He'll come ahead to the house.
Oh, that's just dandy. I can hardly wait to hear that cheery laugh of his.
Then there's the one about the two bookies who went to heaven. Have I told that to you?
Is it funny?
Sure is.
Well, then you haven't told it.
Then I haven't told it. say, that's good. That's real good.
Yes, that is good. Cousin Charlie, I've laid out some towels for you if you want to freshen up. And your room's ready whenever you are.
Oh, thanks. I guess I'll go upstairs and... Say, where's that little traveling kit of mine?
Oh, over there with your suitcase.
Oh, so it is. Getting so I can't see a thing without my glasses. Think I'll take my suitcase up to... Oops, dropped the kit.
Oh, here, I'll get it, Cousin Charlie. You seem to have... Why, you seem to have a lot of money here, Charlie.
Oh, kit come open, didn't it?
It's in cash.
Sure. Just sold a piece of property of mine in Missouri on the way out here. Some funny old codger bought it. Insisted on doing business in cash.
Quite a lot of cash by the looks of it.
Yep, $10,000.
That's an awful lot of money to carry around.
Yes, haven't had a chance to deposit it yet. You know, the funny part of it is, I've been trying to get rid of that property for years. No one to touch it. Then suddenly this fella offers me $10,000 for it. Just like a present, ain't it?
Yeah.
Well, guess I'll go up to my room. Good night, kid.
Good night, Cousin Charlie.
Night.
You know, Jake, I've been thinking, as long as Charlie has the guest room...
$10,000. $10,000, Trina. That'll make up what I'm short at the bank.
Oh, I know. I know, but I don't think...
$10,000.
Jake. Good Lord, Jake. You're...
Cousin Charlie's got $10,000. Trina, you remember Charlie saying he couldn't see very well without his glasses?
Yes. He's always been quite nearsighted.
All right. One of us has to get our hands on those glasses. We break them. Make it appear accidental, of course.
Then?
I've typed this note. We'll find some way to get him to sign it. He won't know what he's signing if he can't read it.
What are you going to use for the...
Potassium cyanide. Encyclopedia says 5 grains are fatal. I can buy it at a photography studio in town. They use it for developing pictures. That way I don't have to sign for it.
Oh, Jake, I'm frightened.
No, you're not. You're not, Trina. You're not... You understand? When people get frightened, they get caught. And you remember that.
But if Charlie should suspect anything... If
Charlie should what?
Oh, Charlie.
Good morning. My ears are burning. And what was you saying about me?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, yes, you were. I heard you.
Heard what?
Heard you mention my name. Come on, what's the secret?
Oh, well, I was just telling Jake if he could fix the water faucet, well, maybe you could. Would you try before you sit down to breakfast, Charlie? It's stuck.
Well, sure thing. Regular handyman, that's me. Which one is it? Let's see. Doesn't seem to be anything the matter with...
Oh, dear, I've splattered your suit, haven't I? I'm so sorry. Here, take this dishcloth. Now, let me have your glasses. I'll dry them.
Oh, that's all right. I can do it.
No, let me. Oh, dear, look what I've gone and done. I've broken your glasses.
Yes, and my only pair.
Oh, I'm sorry, Charlie. I'm terribly sorry. It was later that afternoon. Jake had gone to work, and Charlie and I were on the sun porch. I had but one thought. How was I to get him to sign that note? Then, as if in answer to my question, an article in the magazine caught my eye. Here was the solution. And so simple. Cousin Charlie?
Huh?
Here's an interesting article.
Yeah?
It's about the different specimens of handwriting. It says that your entire character can be determined just by the way you sign your name.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. And it says if you circle your I's instead of dotting them, you're an extrovert. And if you don't cross your T's, you're an introvert. What are you, Charlie? An extrovert or an introvert?
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, I don't go for that handwriting stuff. It's all a lot of bunk.
Oh, maybe it's not. Oh, they have a chart here that explains the whole thing. Here, write your name and let me see if I can analyze your handwriting.
Oh, no, Trina. I think I'd like to take a walk.
Oh, it'll just take a second.
Oh, some other time.
Oh, now, Charlie, don't be a stick. Here, use my pen. Write your name on this piece of paper.
All right. Here. Now, are you satisfied?
Uh-huh. Yes. I'm satisfied. So far, so good. Then the next step. Jake was late getting home that night. Charlie and I had finished supper, and he'd gone into the living room. I was straightening up in the kitchen when I heard the car turning in the driveway. Jake came in the back door. Jake, you're late. Where have you been?
The stores were jammed. I had to wait forever at the photography studio.
Oh, I was worried about you.
I'm sorry.
Well, you could have called.
I said I was sorry.
You don't have to take my head off. Did you get it?
Yeah. Did you get...
Here.
Oh, Trina, you're wonderful.
I was afraid for a while.
Here comes Charlie.
Trina, I... Oh, Jake, finally got home, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I just come in to say goodnight.
Oh, are you going to bed so early?
Yep, I gotta get my beauty wings. Well, good night.
Good night, Cousin Charlie.
Night, Charlie. Charlie.
Yeah?
We're just getting ready to fix some tea, weren't we, Trina?
What? Oh, yes, we were.
Why don't you join us in a cup before you turn in?
No, thanks, I don't think so.
Well, then maybe Trina can bring you up a cup after you get to bed. Help you to sleep.
Well, okay. Bring it up when it's ready. Night.
Night.
What's the idea of the tea?
Oh, Trina.
You mean now?
Sure, it's perfect. Can't you see?
I'll put the water on. Oh, Jake, let me see that note again.
What's the matter with you? You've seen it.
But we might have left something out. There might be a mistake.
I tell you, it's all right. If it'll make you feel better, here. Now, is there anything wrong with that?
No, I guess not.
Then put this in his cup. There's 10 grains here.
All right. Wait, Jake.
What's the matter now?
The police will ask where he got the poison.
Oh, Trina, don't you think I've thought of that? Charlie must have found it in the desk. I used it last summer for developing pictures.
Oh, Jake, I'm afraid I'm going to be sick.
You're not anything of the kind. You're all right. Everything's planned perfectly. I'll take that tea up to Charlie.
All right.
Go ahead. Up the stairs.
Yes, I'm going.
Yes, Trina?
Here's your tea, Cousin Charlie.
Murder in cold blood for only $10,000. A cheap levy against life. $1 a day for 27 years. And Cousin Charlie is nearing 50. $1 a day for 27 years. And that is the price Jake Crowley and Trina has placed on life, with no rate of interest. The perspective on money and life becomes incredible when that perspective is twisted and warped by obsession. Story starring Bonita Granville. It is the following morning after solicitous Trina took Cousin Charlie a cup of hot tea. A cup of tea loaded with cyanide. A lethal charge sufficient to kill many Cousin Charlies. And perhaps this morning, Cousin Charlie lies sprawled in the guest chamber in the horribly contorted paroxysm of death. At least, that is the burning hope of Jake and his wife, Trina, as they recount their evil conspiracy in the breakfast room downstairs, their voices hushed by the tense mute of a desperate obsession.
I don't want to go up there, Jake. I just can't.
All right, you don't have to. Let me have the suicide note. I'll take it up and put it on the lampstand.
Must we call the police this morning?
Of course. But there's nothing to worry about. We simply tell them I went upstairs to call him for breakfast and found him, well, that way.
Jake.
Listen, Trina. I was thinking last night. There may be more than 10,000 in this for us. Charlie's a rich man, isn't he?
I think so.
And you're his only living relative, aren't you?
Yes.
All right. He's almost certain to have mentioned you in his will. Do you realize what that means, Trina? We'll be rich.
Rich? Oh, Jake, it must be wonderful to be rich.
You said it. Trina, we're both alike. I think that's why I love you so much.
And I love you, Jake. I always will.
Well, good morning.
Cousin Charlie.
Charlie?
Oh, what's the matter?
Nothing.
Oh, Here's that cup of tea, Trina.
Oh.
I must have fallen right to sleep last night. Didn't get a chance to drink it. Thanks anyway.
Oh.
Well, come on. What are you staring at me for? Well, what do you got for breakfast?
Breakfast? Eggs.
Fine. Say, how about dishing me up a platter? I'm kind of in a hurry. Thought I'd go into town this morning and get a pair of temporary glasses.
Oh, yes, I'll fix you something right away.
Oh, say, I meant to tell you. I used the phone in my room for a long-distance call yesterday. Hope you don't mind.
Oh, no, of course not.
Had to call my foreman at one of my ranches. We're going to enlarge. Finally got an okay with some building material. Figured I'm going up to look it over day after tomorrow.
You told the foreman you'd be there day after tomorrow?
Why, yeah. Sure. Say, how about them eggs?
Oh, sorry. Right away, Cousin Charlie. Jake and I had been very lucky. If Charlie had drunk the tea after making that phone call to his ranch, the police would have checked with the foreman and become suspicious. Yes, we had been lucky, but it hadn't solved our problem. So that evening...
Trina, did Charlie get back?
He's in the front room, listening to the radio.
Did he get his glasses?
Yes.
Good. There's only 2 days left, Trina.
Oh, I know, Jake, but...
Listen, this is foolproof. We'll tell him there's a package for him in town that he must sign for personally. We'll loan him the car.
How does that...
The skid chains are off, and the roads are slippery with snow. I've loosened a bolt in the master cylinder that breaks. Before he reaches town, all the hydraulic fluid will have leaked out.
You mean the brakes won't hold?
Call Charlie.
Oh, no, Jake, I can't...
We haven't much time. Call him, Trina.
It was easy to talk Charlie into going. And as the front door closed behind him, I felt relieved, exhilarated. I stood by the window listening for the car motor to start. I didn't hear it. Instead, I heard a voice calling.
Trina! Jake! Come here, quick!
Why, it's Cousin Charlie.
Sounds like he's on the porch. Open the door.
Charlie, what's wrong?
I slipped on the steps.
Oh,
don't seem to be able to get up.
Here.
Give me a hand, will you?
Yeah, here.
Oh, be careful.
Let's get him into the house, Jake.
Yeah, all right. Take it easy, Charlie. Come on.
Charlie had sprained his ankle. We called a doctor. He advised Charlie to stay in bed, and he would pay him another visit in the morning. Jake found an old cane he had used when he had had a foot infection. We left it at Charlie's bedside and went downstairs. Jake was furious. The thing was getting to be an obsession with him.
I don't care, Trina. I don't care what's gone wrong. We can't wait any longer. We can't.
We won't be able to do it, Jake. You can see that. It just wasn't meant to be.
It was meant to be, all right. And it's going to be.
Oh, no. Don't you realize, Jake, there's something bigger than you or me.
There's nothing bigger than you or me. Listen. You've kept up the insurance on the house, haven't you?
Why, you know I have.
All right. This time we'll do it. There's plenty of kerosene in the basement. We'll burn this house to the ground and Cousin Charlie with it.
Oh, you can't.
We'll be in the garage, understand? We won't notice the fire until it's too late. Charlie started it with a cigarette, accidentally. He was smoking in bed.
But he's crippled. He'd never be able to get down the stairs.
Well, of course, that's the idea.
Oh, no, we couldn't do that to him.
We can and we will. Well, Trina, we've gone too far to stop now. Hello, Charlie. How do you feel?
Oh, a little better, thanks.
Say, Charlie, that money of yours, don't you think Trina and I'd better put it away for you?
Oh, I don't know. Nobody's going to rob me, are they?
Oh, no, of course not. I just thought, well, we have a wall safe downstairs, and inasmuch as you're laid up...
Oh, come to think of it, might not be a bad idea. There's my traveling kit over there. Take it down with you.
Fine.
Say, what do you got in that can there?
Oh, it's kerosene. We were just going down to the furnace. Thought we'd heat your room up a little for you.
Oh, well, thanks.
Oh, dear, I've spilled it. I'll get a cloth and clean it up right away.
Oh, don't bother. It'll dry up.
Well, if you're sure you don't mind.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Here's a package of cigarettes, Charlie, in case you'd like to smoke.
Oh, well, thanks. You better keep them. I don't smoke.
You don't smoke?
No, sir.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Come on, Trina. We'd better go downstairs.
But, Jake, regardless, why can't we tell the police that it started with a cigarette?
Oh, don't be a fool. Don't you think they'd discover he didn't smoke?
Oh.
No, we gotta find something besides a cigarette. What can it be?
Well,
I'll get it. Hello? Speaking. Oh, hello, Evans. Yes? Yes? Hey, what? They're on the way over here now. Yeah, I'm glad you called. Thanks. Goodbye.
What is it, Jake? Jake, what's wrong?
They've discovered the shortage at the bank, Trina.
Oh, no.
The investigators are on their way over here now. Evan said he thought I'd like to know. He's a nice kid.
But how? I thought the bank examiners were due until...
I don't know how. Trina. Trina, you said you loved me.
I do, Jake. Heaven help me for it, but I do.
We'll run away. You and I.
But supposing we're caught?
Well, we'll be caught if we stay here. Trina, we've got Charlie's 10,000. Maybe we'll be able to start again somewhere else.
Oh, do you think that this is a...
Will you come with me, Trina?
Yes. Yes, Jake. I'll come with you.
Are you afraid?
No, not anymore.
We're probably at the house by now.
Jake, do you have to drive so fast?
Well, they'll be looking for us pretty soon.
But you're doing almost 70 and the roads are... Jake?
What's the matter?
Jake? Good Lord, Jake! The brakes! The brakes!
Hello? This is Charlie Barton. They... What? Both of them? Yes. I'm Mrs. Crowley's cousin. Well, I have a sprained ankle. But if you'll send someone... Yes. Yes, I'll come down and identify the bodies. $10,000? That's strange. I was planning on giving them that money as a present. I thought the world of those two kids.
You have been listening to Obsession.
That's the Relic Radio show for this week, but if you like what you heard here, visit RelicRadio.com. You check out all the other podcasts. Got a variety of different flavors there waiting for you. You'll also find links to our forum, Shoutcast stream, newsletter, sign up, Twitter account, Facebook page. Everything Relic Radio can be found at RelicRadio.com. If you'd like to help support this show and all the Relic Radio shows, help keep them advertising free, click on that donate button at RelicRadio.com. Anything you're able to give is much appreciated. And thank you to those who have donated. Email me at RelicRadio@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. I'll be back next Tuesday with another 60 minutes of old-time radio on the Relic Radio Show.